6. The Fan. WFAN.
Sal Licata back on this fan on this now Friday, right? Friday morning here, 12:05 officially on the Fan. We'll take you to 2 a.m. and right now, and we'll get back to your calls in a little bit. And I love talking to you about fighting in hockey. Can't wait to do more of that. Obviously, the Mets and Yankee trades, will stick to that in a little bit. Right now, though, I want to talk to Rich O'Malley, who just finished writing a book, One Lucky Fan. He went to visit all 123 big sports teams here with all Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, and NHL. An incredible journey. The book was both exciting and exhausting. Rich, how the hell did you accomplish this tremendous feat?
Well, Sal, first of all, thanks for having me. It's the ultimate first time, long time here for me, lifetime listener to WFAN. So it's a real thrill to be here. How did I do it? I have no idea. It was a blur while I was out there. You know, I've been doing this for about 25 years now. I started, like most stadium chasers, with baseball, and that was really my only intention for a while. And then I started amassing a lot of other sports as well while I was taking these trips. You know, whenever you go to a family reunion or a wedding, you know, wherever you go,
right,
why ever you go, I was always finding, well, who's home while I'm in town? And so that built out over, you know, 20 years or so. And then I had always had it in the back of my mind to write this book about my many, you know, travels. I've seen a lot of historic games. I've seen some funny moments, blah, blah, blah. We can talk about that. But, you know, when I started thinking about the book, I'm like, well, what's my hook? I've read a lot of these books where people go to, you know, all the baseball stadiums in one summer or over their lifetime. And I'm like, well, what if I got everything? What if I just went out and collected them all, like baseball cards? And so I left my job at the Daily News at the end of 2016, and I was thinking about what I could do next. And I had that opportunity, that moment where I could just go out and take this mother of all trips and get the last 40 teams I needed. At that point, I was at about 80 out of 123. So I took a 2-month road trip. It was about 25,000 miles back and forth across the country and across Canada. And I collected those last 40 teams. And that's sort of the narrative that propels the book chapters where I talk about my different fandoms growing up.
Now, what was the urgency to do it in the time frame that you did? You finished on New Year's Eve. Was it 17?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So was there a specific time frame you wanted to finish so you could write the book? Was that the main goal?
Yeah, I had to collect what I needed in my mind when I made this decision in let's say it was spring of 2017. By the time football season wrapped up, I had to have football done. And so I figured that's the time I'm just going to aim to have this all done by the turn of the calendar. So that was the only impetus to get it done by then. And then I spent 2018 actually writing the book.
Okay, now you mentioned the job, the Daily News. Mm-hmm. So I mean, no, you know, people who have jobs can't really take off the time that you did. So that was an advantage that you had right there.
Yes.
People could still get it done, but just not in the time frame that you did.
Absolutely.
Do you think the time frame that you did it in took away at all from your experience? I mean, it was exhausting, a lot
yes.
of your trips. Do you think it took away from your experience in visiting different cities and different arenas?
For sure. I would never recommend what I did in 2017 to anybody. I mean, no one should be, you know, waking up, taking a train to an airport, taking a flight, getting to the arena, eating dinner somewhere in there, back to the hotel, sleep, wake up at 4 a.m., catch another flight out. Like, no one should really be doing that. That's not how you embrace visiting a new city and taking in a new ballpark and experiencing a new fan base. You know, definitely the way I had been doing it for the previous 20 years, where I've got a week somewhere, I've got a weekend trip, I've got a road trip I'm going to take and hit, you know, 3 or 4 stadiums. That's definitely what I would recommend to people. And in the book, I say that, like, that's mm-hmm. that's the way to really embrace this and do it.
Let me tell you, and we're talking about Rich O'Malley, author of One Lucky Fan. I mean, his travels, ridiculous travels to see every team at every stadium of the four major sports, was accomplished in 2017. So no, I'm trying to get all the ballparks. That's always been my thing as
okay.
a kid.
Where are you now?
I ate to go.
Okay.
Not
nice.
Bad, right?
Yeah.
Now there's going to be a new one next year in
uh-huh.
Texas.
This game never ends.
But I haven't seen Houston,
okay.
so I could do Houston, Texas next year.
Yep.
I saw the old Texas one a couple of years ago. So ate to go. But I'll go, let's say, on a weekend with my buddies. It's all
sure.
different stuff. Last year, I went my anniversary. Oh, honey, you want to go to San Diego? Padres are in town.
There you go. Surprise, honey.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go see the Padres on a Tuesday afternoon. So, but that'll go with my buddies, and
right.
we'll plan a weekend. So we just did recently White Sox and Brewers.
Okay.
But I'll go Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
We go in, you plan it. You know, you go see the White Sox Saturday afternoon or whatever it is.
Yep.
Train to Milwaukee, see the Brewers on Sunday, come back. So it's, I don't know, but even that makes it feel kind of rushed because it's in a weekend. Am I really taking everything in? You try to do as much as you can in the stadium or the town, but it's hard to do. Would you? And then you got to compare it, so you're looking back
of
to, okay.
Of course, yeah,
so
all
that's,
the time.
And you reference that in the book plenty of times. Even the pictures don't do it justice. You try to get a feel while you're there. So obviously, the day of travel, the time your flights are the next day, all that could impact your review looking back of whatever ballparks or arena you're going to.
Absolutely. I mean, if you have a lousy flight, you get in late, you're tired, you're cranky, you're not really going to go into that with fresh eyes. As you said, the ideal thing for me is to get a stadium, get a night game, and then you get the day game, the getaway day the next day. Like, that's perfect because you see two different, times a day, two different crowds, and you can really appreciate the stadium the second day than you can. The first day, you're just walking around, you're looking at everything.
Right, really, you need to.
Right, and then the second, day, you can sit in your seat and you can see the game from, like, a fan's eyes in that stadium.
Okay, couple of more before we get into the specifics of the certain stadiums that you've seen. The cost. I mean, that's one issue where fans may say, Sal and Rich, I'd love to go see Lambeau Field. I'd love to go see Wrigley. I'd love to go on a trip, over the course of a couple of months and see every stadium. Financially, difficult to do.
Absolutely. I mean, the lucky in the title is no accident. I definitely was fortunate in having the ability to take a trip like this and to take any of these kinds of trips. I do suggest in the book a number of things people can do to save money if they really want to take these kinds of trips. Certainly the secondary market for tickets nowadays has really changed it from when I started going to games, 20 years ago, when you were outside dealing with shady scalpers all the time and you never knew if you were getting a real ticket or not, or you had to go to the box office and buy what they had left, and usually that was expensive. Now you can get a ticket for $5 if you're lucky to, there's 81 games in the regular season. They're not that expensive on the whole. And they're a lot cheaper outside this city, I'll tell you that, too.
Right.
You can go sit on the dugout in Kansas City for $30. I mean, that's just the reality of the game today across the country. So that's good. And then, I suggest also there's a couple of different ways you can save money on hotels and flights, and I get into that. I have a whole chapter where
you did
I focus
a lot of
the money.
Airbnb.
I did a lot of Airbnb, which is not as convenient often because you're not right next to the arena like you would be at a hotel, but you're spending $30 a night instead of $150 a night.
Right. I mean, plus you're talking about you're trying to drink and eat every night. I mean, that's stuff adds up. Talking to Rich O'Malley, author of One Lucky Fan. Look, I recommend it highly. It's very entertaining. The energy. I feel the energy from you and the excitement you go on that travel because, I mean, for me, I happen to love it. Like I said, I'm trying to get all the ballparks. I can't imagine a sports fan who's listening to FAN doesn't or never wanted to travel to see their team play on the road and all that stuff. So I thought the energy was great. The other thing that I have to bring up is the wife. I mean, as a single as a single person, maybe a little bit easier, although the finances aren't there. You become an adult, but you're married. A lot of people have children. I mean, is your wife, what a saint she is for having you do that. You were gone on Thanksgiving watching the Lions. You were gone on New Year's. You stopped home for a couple of days for Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. I got away with murder on this one. But it's nothing she's not used to after 15 years with me. She knew what she was getting into. And in fact, she likes going along with me as much as she can, too. I mean, she loves going to baseball games. She loves basketball. We go to St. John's games all the time together. So in that way, I'm very lucky in that, I have a partner who gets what I love to do and wants to join me in doing it sometimes, not all the time, and that's cool. But I say in the book, your friends and your family have to be able to understand at least what you're trying to accomplish here. And if you can talk to them and say, like, hey, this is just what I want to do with my free time, this is my hobby, and if they can support you in that, then you're on your way.
How did you possibly map this thing out? I mean, for me, I'll go over with my buddies or look, okay, this year I want to hit Milwaukee, Chicago, or my next one's going to be Miami and Tampa Bay. So let's see when they're in town at the same time, figure out a weekend that I'm available, that they're both home. That's easy to do one weekend, a couple of ballparks.
Sure.
You are a complete nut job planning around, okay, I'm going to go see the Lions on Thanksgiving. Did you have linchpin games that you planned it around and then built from there? I mean, how the heck did you concoct it and map this thing out with all these teams, all these cities in this short period of time?
I'm not sure if it was better luck or management. I mean, it was a day or two of sitting in front of a computer, and I had a map of the United States in front of me, and I had all the cities laid out that I needed to get to and all the teams.
Awesome,
and, I just started going through and saying, where are the big blocks that I need? you know, I happened to need everyone in Phoenix at that time. So, okay, I've got to spend at least 3 or 4 days in Phoenix. That means I have to get really lucky that all three teams are home around the same weekend. They were home, boom, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And it was like, that's where I'm starting the trip. Let's go from there. Then we're off to Los Angeles. All right, who's home? Who's not home? Not all of them are home. All right, that means at some point I got to get back to Los Angeles. Let's table that for a second. And it was just like, you know, wow. The mad scientist with the thing, you know, the map on the wall and the strings and the coffee cups everywhere. But that is so much part of the trip to me. Like, that's fun.
Yeah.
And I get into that. And, you know, it built out from there. Yes, there were a lot of crazy decisions that needed to be made. I needed to fly back across the country twice instead of just going out west and then making my way back. But, you know, these are just the things you do when you have a certain finite period of time. You know, you just want to get everything you can in that time. So even if you're talking about a weekend trip, like you were saying, you want to get something Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. You, mm-hmm. you want to fill that weekend. You want to see as much as you can, but not overdo it to the point where you're going to kill yourself and not remember anything you did and not appreciate what you were doing at that time.
And I think most people probably want to see their team go in a visiting ballpark.
Definitely.
But when you're on a mission to see every stadium, you can't really do that. Now, you happen to see some Devil games. You're a big Devils fan, yep. Saw some Devils games. You didn't plan that, though.
I did not plan that. That was absolute good luck. It was just they were in Detroit when I was there, or there, you know, wherever it was. But yeah, for many years I took trips, you know, like I would go see a Jets game every year on the road with my friend. That's just what we did. And that's how I accomplished getting a couple of, NFL teams over about five, 10 year period there where we would, you know, where are we going this year? You know, who's the best road game for us? So yeah, I think a lot of people would and should focus their trips on their own team. I think it'll help you get into, you know, what you're doing more, because then you're the enemy. You're on enemy turf for the first time instead of in your own park, which is kind of cool too.
Seeing the Lions on Thanksgiving, that one you planned, right? You wanted to make a point to that?
That one I planned. I tried like everything I could to wind up there for that one, and it worked out well. It meant going from Minneapolis to Detroit, back to Minneapolis, back to Detroit. It was nuts what I had to do, but it worked, and it was so much fun. That was on my bucket list for a long time, and that tradition did not disappoint me. It was so very fun.
And that motivates me. We're talking about Rich O'Malley, author of One Lucky Fan. He's seen all the stadiums, all the teams, all the arenas in the four major sports. I went to, I think it was last year, I did Target Field and mm-hmm. then Detroit early next morning to Comerica. Just so happened, Jets were playing a preseason game against the Lions.
Nice.
Walked across, went to go see it.
Right across the street.
Now, I saw it as, whatever, it's an okay football stadium, but whatever, you check it off, it's cool, it's right there, I happen to be there. You ranked Ford Field pretty high on the list, mm-hmm. but because of the Thanksgiving experience, that is a difference maker to a point where I was like, you know what? I thought that before, but then after reading it, I'd like to experience that, whether it's Dallas or Detroit, Thanksgiving Day game in one of those two stadiums.
Yeah, I felt like I was at a huge family celebration. It just felt like they had all come back together. You know, they knew they were going to be there every year, and so everyone was, you know, greeting each other, and it was like a big family reunion. I felt part of something that had been going on for a long time that I had watched on TV every single year, and now I was immersed in it, and that was super cool.
I think a big thing, and again, I want to get into the specific rankings. You ranked all the ballparks, Major League ballparks,
yes.
which is the most fun thing. You talked about a couple of different football mm-hmm. arenas that are must-see. You know, Lambeau's obviously, or football stadium, Lambeau's the best. I mean, that by far. You have a couple other ones I forget off the top of my head. You know which ones you would rank to see in football?
In football, Lambeau, the new Atlanta Stadium is absolutely fantastic.
I'm actually a Falcons fan. I haven't been. Been to the Georgia Dome. Well, I'm trying to plan so I could go, because I didn't see the new Braves Stadium. That's one of my eight left. I want to make sure I do. Yeah, you don't like it, huh?
I don't like it at all.
I know, and the Phillips Arena was the worst. I've been there, unfortunately.
God.
That is just,
that place,
I mean, don't even waste your time with it. But don't you get that probably with a lot of basketball and hockey? It's the same
stuff.
They're
all the same. And that's what I say when I'm, instead of ranking all of these, you know, arenas that are all the same across the country, like, I'm just going to tell you what you really should get to see and the ones you really need to avoid.
But what's not the same is the, and this is the best part of it, mm-hmm. is getting a feel for that fan base
Correct.
In that city. Like the Sacramento Kings, for example, mm-hmm. which I remember you liked that arena, right?
I do. It was brand new.
But
it was gorgeous.
But Sacramento, I wouldn't even know it existed outside of the Kings or the Portland Trailblazers. I would just, and that was low on your list, which I was surprised, or you didn't love the Blazers.
Yeah, I expected to like it more.
But so to see a game, which is in a rare, you know, Chicago, everybody goes to Chicago with all the different teams, but Sacramento specifically or Portland, to see a game there, that's got to be really cool to get that feel. You experience all these things.
Yeah, it definitely is. And then you walk into a place where you have absolutely zero expectation. You've never in your life considered that there might be a Tampa Bay Lightning fan anywhere in the world. And you walk in this building and there's this amazing passion and energy, and it's just like, well, that, duh, I was so wrong on that one.
We'll get into some more specifics. I want to definitely get into the baseball stadium rankings, being that I only have eight to go, so I'll you know, we'll compare our rankings, so to speak. The Fan Sports Radio 101.9 FM Sports Radio 66 Sports Radio WFAN. Sal Licata back on the Fan In Studio with author Rich O'Malley. One lucky fan, seen all these stadiums, has tasted all the beers and all the food. I mean, it really is incredible what you've done. I'm envious. Most people won't be able to do this literally in their lifetime, and here you did it in a couple of months.
Well, I mean, I did it over 25 years, but yes, I certainly, you know, I say that I spent a long time carefully honing my craft, and then I took a sledgehammer and I just smashed off the last little bit of it.
God, it had to feel good, right?
It did, yeah. But it was also melancholy. I got to the end and I said, oh, well, now what?
Well, so I also was going to say, too, not only that, look, the way you did it, you wouldn't recommend, right? No. You're going through a speed process, you're by yourself, the travel. I mean, one time I took the note, you went from St. Louis to Memphis, you're on 2 hours sleep. I mean, that's a disaster.
On a bus.
Yeah, I mean, that's brutal.
That was the low point of the trip. I'm sitting in a gas station, and the bus isn't even getting gas. It's just like, it just pulls into this gas station, lets us all out. We're in the middle of Missouri, in the southern Missouri. And it's just like, what am I doing here? What is going on?
I had that, my first trip that I did with my buddy when we started this, I went from Cleveland to Pittsburgh in a bus, and you wrote it. You couldn't have written it any better. I mean, we're talking 5 a.m. at the bus station. I'm like, what am I doing? Right. This is hard. I don't even want to see PNC Park this badly. but also when you ended it, right, in Houston, it's New Year's Eve.
Yep.
You just complete the dream. Yes. You're there by yourself on New Year's Eve, like...
Yes.
I mean, and it was emotional for you.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I walked into the arena. I said, I'm gonna do something different for this one. I'm going to videotape the guy scanning my ticket instead of just taking a picture of it. So I take a little video and it beep. And then I walk in the arena and then I'm, you know, I get a little weepy because I realized that the whole thing was over. I had built this journey of 2 decades plus, and then I had spent 2 months plus on the road straight, away from my family, away from my loved ones, right around the holidays. And I had accomplished this thing, but I was by myself. So right. it was a very up and down night. And of course, the stupid game went to double overtime. I couldn't get out of there. I couldn't get home and get to bed. And then I watched the ball drop in Univision.
Now, how many pictures and stuff do you have from your travels? Are you going to make a book of that? I got the digital copy, so I read. I don't know if there was a bunch more pictures in the actual the paper.
Yeah,
the
there paperback. Was. I mean, I think you got the same amount of pictures. I have tons more, just because of space reasons. You can't add them all into the book, but I mean, I post them all along the way on Instagram. One Lucky Fan. You can go back and relive the trip if you want that way, and they're on my website too. And certainly there's. You know, I could take so many more. I regret in my youth not taking, you know, as many as I wanted. I didn't get any of Tiger Stadium. I ran out of film. Can you imagine telling a kid now I ran out of film? They'd be like, what's film? So, you know, there's that thing where, oh, I want to look at my pictures of Tiger Stadium. I don't have any. Oh well. I guess I'll go look on the internet. You know?
Yeah, right. My favorite picture that you took probably was in Miami, the Clevelander. Yes. Is you sitting there in the pool, which actually I haven't been there yet. You give me an idea. That's pretty cool to check that out. I take my wife down there. You go sit in the pool seats. And,
it was fantastic. I mean, it was, again, that was a pretty reasonable ticket. It was about $30, which, you know, I don't know where you'd be sitting in Yankee Stadium for $30, but it would be upstairs and in the back. But yeah, you can go and access this whole bar area. And you know, all you have to do is ask. Just say, I want to jump in the pool, and hand you a towel. And I say, knock yourself out.
So two ballparks in Major League Baseball with pools, right?
Them in Arizona, I believe, yes.
And you liked Arizona. I did not love it.
I did. It's been a long time since I've been there. It's probably the longest stadium now that I have not been back to.
Roof closed?
Roof's closed, which always brings a stadium down, no matter what.
Yeah, I had that in Milwaukee, where I had high expectations for Milwaukee. The roof was closed. You just, I don't know. It doesn't have that. Now, you and I have different, I guess everybody's going to have different grading systems.
Sure.
And there's a bunch that goes into it. Whether you look at, okay, just the field itself. How's the ballpark play? Mm-hmm. You like more stadiums. I like more more of the ballpark.
Correct.
Food, surrounding area, all those different things have to be a factor. And like you said, not only do those things factor in, it's also your actual trip. So if you had a rough travel day getting there, if you're tired, if you're sick, if the game, you know, is not a good game, whatever, these could all impact your reviews when you look back, being that you're only there for a day or so.
Right. And the hard thing is always, you're always ranking in your mind. You're always thinking back to the last place you went. Well, how do I like this compared to the last place? How do I like this compared to Yankee Stadium? How do I like this compared to the stadium it's replacing? Like, you're always comparing in your mind, and you can never really get yourself back to that place and time where you were actually standing there and experiencing it.
In studio, Rich O'Malley, author of One Lucky Fan, seeing all the places you need to see in the world of sports. Okay, let's get into some of the rankings here specifically. I find myself ranking...
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What are the eight you're missing?
So the new Atlanta,
yep.
Houston,
mm-hmm.
LA, San Fran, also LA, Oakland, Miami, Tampa Bay.
All right, you've got a good mix of my sort of top 10, bottom 10 there.
Yeah. So, right. So it's hard for me because I haven't seen them all, but mm-hmm. I know I've heard about how, look, Dodger Stadium I'm going to like because of nostalgic purposes.
Absolutely.
And you wrote about it. I mean, the scenic, all that stuff.
Best view in all of baseball. Yeah.
So of the ones, right. So now you at least know the ones that I've seen. I keep seeing ones that I'm like, okay, that's nice, but it's not top five worthy. So mm-hmm. I'm working from the top five or the bottom five.
Right.
And I'll tell you right now, the ones with the stadium, with the roofs, like I wanted to love Rogers Center because it was the Sky Dome.
Right.
Growing up, it was the Sky Dome. Historic. And it was obviously awful. There's nothing to it.
Right. There's no... But they used to pack it. It used to be, you know, the state-of-the-art new thing. And now you look back and you're like, what? What?
Plus the roof was closed. Have you seen it with it open?
I have seen it with it open and closed. Open is much better, but it's just lipstick on a pig. It's still... You can't, you know, there's no saving it.
And then to me... Now, you did beat Wrigley and Fenway. To me, nothing beats... Wrigley's number one. Fenway is right behind it at number two. But tell us what you beat those two parks with.
My favorite is Pittsburgh's PNC. You mentioned it earlier. I just absolutely adore that park up and down. It's intimate, but it's welcoming. You look out into the across the river, and the city skyline's right there. You feel like you could reach out and touch it. You've got the yellow bridges down the river, which make for a unique and beautiful scene. It's only two levels, which I like because it takes away from that sort of, you know, I think like Citi Field has this very tall presence to it that I don't love. I feel like there's walls around me. I like that PNC is spread out and it feels like a minor league park, but it doesn't look like one. And I really appreciate that.
The one knock that I had on PNC, and I went and I liked it, obviously, mm-hmm. it's a beautiful park, and it is just that, a beautiful park, which, you know, to me, better than the stadiums and things like that. The scoreboard, too small. Now, you didn't reference that. I was waiting for you to reference that about your critiques.
You're right
from
about
there.
That. Yep.
That was my issue. And now the expectations going in, you think you're going to see the greatest stadium in the world. And the view is, you mm-hmm. can't beat the view. I get that. And I mean, it depends on where you sit, too. Now, you're not sitting for these games in full. You're moving around, checking all the seats out
Correct.
And things like that. In this ballpark, there isn't a bad seat in the house, really. Great view.
Not really.
But the scoreboard and left, to me, nowadays, where every scoreboard is massive wherever
True.
You go... It's a small little teeny scoreboard all the way in left field.
That is very true, and I do knock a couple of stadiums for that, and you're right, I did not knock them for that. One place I have a real problem with the out-of-town scoreboard is Yankee Stadium. It's embarrassing because you see what stadiums can do now. They can show you the players on base with their out-of-town scoreboards, and I like that. I like watching other games, you know, while, you know, maybe there's a pitching change or something, and I just go over and see what's going on out of town. I think Yankee Stadium has like a blue or a green dot or something, and it's like, well, what the hell is that? Like, I want to see, you know, as much detail as you can give me, and we've figured out how to do that in 2019, so let's see it.
You know, we haven't figured out, you brought this up, I mean, these people build new stadiums, brand mm-hmm. new, billion-dollar whatever yep. stadiums, and they still have seats that have... Multiple seats with obstructed views.
Absolutely.
How is that possible?
I don't know. You look at Citi Field. I mean, right here in our own hometown, there are lots of seats on those middle levels where there's, you know, a little roof coming out over your head, and it means you can't see the scoreboard. And, you know, I
can't see the field of play with the lines.
No, there's terrible sight lines at Citi Field. And also the problem there, which I mentioned in the book.
Yeah, you ripped Citi Field. I thought that was a little low.
It was a little low.
24, you had it?
It was in the 20s, yeah. But, you know... There's so many damn signs in the outfield. You can't, even if you were able to see the scoreboard, you're like, where the hell's the scoreboard? I see 10 different signs for, you know, Joe, the local attorney. Like, well, come on, like take some of the signs out of there and focus on the scoreboard. You've got a nice scoreboard. I just want to be able to find the lineup out there.
I would put it a little higher, but I think middle of the pack. I think a lot of them are similar, right? The more you go to, the more you realize they're the same. St. Louis is Colorado and yep. Philadelphia is New York. And like, they're all, now I love happen to love Citizens Bank for other reasons. Mm-hmm. I think the food there is fantastic, as you touched upon that.
Yes.
I think it's kind of an underrated ballpark.
I definitely do, too. And I live in Philadelphia now, so it's my home ballpark, in air quotes, that you can't see. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it had the best food and drink in the majors, by my count.
You also didn't love Camden as much as everybody else.
No, and I fully admit that that's on me. That's just a personal preference. I think I put it somewhere around 19 or 20 on my list. And I say that I don't think most people will have it this low, but there's just something about it that never grabbed me. And I think the problem is not it's not in and of itself. I think it's that so many people copied it since. And like you said, there are all these parks out there that now that share DNA with Camden. Like, that was the daddy right. of all of them. And because of that, it's being punished in my mind, because it's just looks like so many other places. Now when you look out and you have the warehouse out there and the giant yeah. block, that's awesome. I love that. But when you pick it, a little further, and you're walking in the hallways, you can't see the field of play for so much of your walk. That's a big knock in my book.
Yeah, I want to go back there. That's one of those that I got to before I started thinking about doing all these, and I didn't have pictures for it and all those type of different things. Top five stadiums for me, like I said, Wrigley's up there. Obviously, Fenway is number two. It's hard to round out the full top five. You had what was Dodger Stadium in there?
No, it just missed. I had Seattle was four for me.
Okay,
which again, I'm a stadium guy. I like big, stadiums, not these little.
Seattle was great.
Seattle's fantastic in my book. I also just happen to love the town of Seattle, too, so I'm probably a little biased on that one. But then number five is a very underrated park in my book, and that's Cincinnati. I really appreciate that. Again, another one that's on the riverfront. You have bridges there. You feel like you're part of this, riverfront town. They've got the big stacks that, harken back to their steamboat origins. And, the town is really coming around, and I feel like those fans have a nice new park, and they dealt with the worst park ever in any sport for a long time in Riverfront. That place was an absolute concrete dungeon. So I'm very happy they have a nice place now.
Yeah, I love that you give Cincinnati love, because I think that kind of sums up what you want to capture in every city when you go to that team's ballpark, right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned, everything's red. You can't go there and not feel the Cincinnati Reds, the Hall of Fame that they have, the block leading up to it. It's just all about the Reds.
Yep.
The ballpark itself is beautiful. It's mm-hmm. There's nothing not to like about it, so it's nice. Now, does it have the best food there? Probably not. Is it the best drink options? I mean, whatever. There's food. There's enough ice cream there and all those different things. But that is just pure. There's great statues outside.
Yep.
Honoring the history of the club, which is a big part of things when you're ranking these, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
There's nothing not to love about Cincinnati, but yet, you're the only one who I've seen rank it in the top five. Everywhere else, it's never even mentioned.
I agree. I mean, I've never seen any list that had it as high as I do. And a big part of it for me is exactly what you said. I like, when I'm in a place, I like to know where I am. It's like, all right, I'm here. This is Redsville.
Right.
There's nowhere else in the world I could be right now. Johnny Bench is over there. Every seat is red. There's, steamboat stacks in the outfield. Like, all right, I'm obviously in Cincinnati. And like you said, it's when you're in Atlanta, the new Atlanta Stadium, there's nothing. I don't have any idea where I am. I could be in any stadium, in any park, in any city in the country. And that, to me, is just a big fail on their part. You've got to have a signature look and feel to your stadium. You got to have the apple in the hat in the outfield like Citi Field. You've got to have something that says to me, this is Braves land.
Right. The blue walls for the Mets originally, I mean, the fact that they didn't have the walls blue drove everybody nuts.
Right.
The seats, the generic color.
Yeah.
Like I said, I like Colorado, but again, that's similar. I think there's so many middle of the pack ballparks. They're nice.
Yeah,
they're good.
Absolutely.
But
nice.
They're just, which one I loved is Petco. I would put that up there.
Oh, I do too.
Now, you had it lower. I just went recently. I went last year. You had it lower because I didn't even know they had a beach there at one point.
Yeah, they had a beach there. When I was writing the book, I was writing the chapter about, San Diego, and I'm like, oh, I want to talk about the beach. Let me find out the story behind the beach. And I Googled it, and I'm like, where the hell did the beach go? They took the beach out. So you could sit right up against the outfield fence in, it was left field. And there was a little beach. There was sand, and you could bring the kiddies down there and sit in the sand and be right behind the outfielder. It was really cool and really unique, and they got rid of it and put a bar in. So I petulantly dropped Petco out of my top 10.
Yeah, I love that ballpark, and I love the town. I loved everything about it. Mm-hmm. The history there, they have, Tony Gwynn statue is cool. You go out in center field, there's like a nice park area out there. Nothing.
It's always nice. Yeah, it's beautiful.
If you had to pick a top five that fans must go to of all sports,
okay,
give me the top five.
All right. So Lambeau Field is number one on my list. It is the ultimate sports experience anywhere in America or Canada. You can't get anything like it anywhere else. And that goes right out the gates of the stadium and into the town. It's just so unique, and the people are so nice, and you will appreciate every moment you spend in that town on a game weekend. I would then put PNC, Wrigley, and Fenway.
Right. So yeah, that leaves one more.
So that leaves one more. Wow.
Can't be NHL, NBA, right?
That's the thing. I feel like I want to represent one of them, and I want to give it to the Garden, but I don't really feel like the Knicks deserve it right now, so I don't want to do that. Fine, I'll give it to a ready for a strange one?
Yeah.
Winnipeg.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, the Winnipeg Jets are a fantastic fan base, and they pack their building nightly now that they've got their team back, and I'm so happy that they do, and that building rocks.
Right, seeing a hockey game in Canada. I've been to Ottawa to see Rangers playoffs, but I want to go to Montreal. I've actually seen Toronto, too, but I want to see Montreal. So Winnipeg would be one, and Calgary and Edmonton, you had a good time with those
places were so much fun. I loved my Canadian swing. That was a blast.
Can you give us the total cost of this trip?
I kept it under 10 grand.
Wow. Yeah. Now that's just for, you had 80 already in the bank.
Yes.
So that's for a little.
This 2 month trip.
Yeah. 10 grand, huh?
Yeah.
That's impressive. All right. Rich O'Malley, you check the book out. One Lucky Fan. You can get it everywhere. Thanks, Rich, for joining us in the studio.
Thank you so much.
Good luck on your travels.
I appreciate it. I hope to one day
be the man that you are. And you know what? God bless your wife too. She deserves it.